Round 10 of the National Rugby League, it's Indigenous round. He was a fantastic rugby league player, an inspiration to, well, a lot of kids, but certainly Indigenous kids as well. 10 tests for Australia, 11 origins for Queensland, 183 games, and just the 142 tries for the Brisbane Broncos.
Scoring machine.
Amazing. Man. It's great to have him on the line, Steve Renoff. G'day, Steve.
Hey, boys. How you going, Jimmy?
Yeah, really well, mate, and thanks for your time on this Sunday morning. We like to start things off by asking how these sports stars get involved in the game. How did rugby league become a part of your life, Steve?
Mate, I from a big family, but I just started up in the bush at Murga, the mighty Murga Mustang. Started playing when I was 9 and just carried on from there.
Yeah. Did you always...
Very, very basic.
Yeah. Was it always a... like speed was a big part of your game. Were you always blessed with speed, Steve? Did it show itself early?
I was very lucky, you know. My old man was a bit of a runner, and 12 kids in my family, and we're all blessed with speed from the old man, I think. And Mum would have had something to do with that, but I'm sure. But we were very lucky. We got that, I think.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Such an asset to have, isn't it, speed in rugby league? And Steve, were you always going to play for the Broncos? Because I think your first grade career sort of coincided with the Broncos coming into New South Wales Rugby League. Yeah,
it did. I finished high school in 87. The Broncos started in 88. And my first contract offer came from Newcastle, actually. They started the same year as well in 88. So coming back from the National School Boys, so I got offered to go to Newcastle, but I sort of held off and waited till the Broncos. I didn't give much thought at the time, but I got a hand with that, and I ended up getting a contract with it.
The headgear, which became such a trademark of yours. When did that start, Steve? When did you start wearing that?
It actually started probably when I was 14, 15. I got a really bad concussion, ended up in hospital. This is at home, and virtually my mother just said, you're not playing anymore unless you wear a headgear.
Yeah.
And so that was it. I did what Mum told me, as I did always. And we've got to love our mums. It is Mother's Day. And, I sort of started wearing it when I was 15. Mm-hmm. And that was it. I just become part of me and the game.
Mm. I know you'd played first grade beforehand, but you really announced yourself with 4 tries in a reserve grade grand final in 1990. What were your memories of that day, Steve?
Oh, look, we were playing Canberra, and it was for us as a club, we'd made the reserve grade, made the finals the year before, and we got knocked out in the first semi. But for a fledgling club like the Brisbane Broncos, and we had a really good team in that reserve grade grand final, and we beat Canberra, and it sort of launched my career. And once you sort of win them, and the first grade got knocked out I think the week before, so we're very, very lucky. And we sort of, after we won that one, had John Rebo say come and see me, and I signed a contract the same week of the grand final.
Steve, you became a regular in first grade in 91, and the Broncos won their first premiership against St George in 1992. When you came into that team, obviously you're playing with so many superstars at the time in Queensland football. There must have been a sense that success was just around the corner at the Broncos.
Look, it was funny, 89, 90, 91 we talk about, and Wayne, obviously I was a centre, outside back, started off on the wing with the Broncos, but he'd signed like Tony Curry and Peter Jackson and Dale Shearer, and I thought, I was Buckley. So I actually thought to myself, what's going on? He signed all these internationals. And he was very, very good, Wayne, and he just said, I was playing okay in reserve grade, and he said, just keep playing. He said, just keep playing the footy that I can't keep you out of the first grade. And he was true to his word. So I just did that. And I found myself, in the first grade team. And as you said, we were very, very fortunate that we won our 92, our first grand final.
September 27th, 1992. I think it was almost the defining moment of
Absolutely
the match. And that was Khan gets out of the in-goal area. Walters gets to dummy half, who throws long to Langer, who throws long to Renoff. Can you still remember that moment? I think you're getting a little tired by the back.
Ricky Walford was coming after you.
I'll tell a story about that one. Yeah. But look, you know, to be honest, 92 for us, I think we lost four games all season. And even though that happened in the grand final, that was our bread and butter. We you know, what Willie Kahn did and what we did down that end of the field was what we did all year. Yeah. And it's, you know, it just happened that one of those tries came in a grand final, and I was on the receiving end of it. And that's the team we had, you know. I look back at that, and it was just a typical Bronco try, to be honest, and not being blasé about it, but it just happened for me that it happened in the grand final.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, could you sense Ricky Wolf of the Dragons winger closing on you late there?
I thought, please. And I was having a very quiet game that game, to be honest. And I think the whole thing, it was such jubilation when we won. It was just one of those things we couldn't believe it even when the final hooter went. But you know, we were that confident in ourselves that we had a dominant year. We were minor premiers, and it was just a great sensation to win the grand final.
Well, I'm just thinking about what you did. It was almost in like a month period across 1992 because then you play your first game for Australia.
Yeah,
it's the World Cup final, and there's only one try scorer in the match, and it's Steve Renoff. People still talk about it, Steve, and that's Kevvy Walters was a reserve. He gets on there.
Yeah.
And he throws a beautiful out ball, and no one had heard it. No one knew what an out ball was until they saw you and Kevvy put it on. Do you remember that time? I think it was at Wembley too, wasn't it?
It was. It was at the old Wembley, and you know, we were, to be honest, the Australian team, we were struggling. That was my debut test, and it was just one of those things. You know, Kevvy came on, and I knew he was on, and straight away he's like, "Pearl, let's do the out ball." And I was actually shying away from it. And I said, "No, mate." Mm. And you watch the. You watch the footage, he actually forces it on me. He comes across the back of the ruck, and he just said, well, you know, he got sick of asking me. He just forced me into it, and you know, good on Kevin, because we end up scoring. So it was just one of those things, you know, and he's such a great player. He changed that game that day. If you watch that whole game, we were struggling in Australia, and Kevvy come on and just turned us around.
Yeah, and Australia beat Great Britain 10-6 to win that World Cup. A week later, as Jimmy touched on, this extraordinary month, you're a part of the Broncos team that won the World Club Challenge against Wigan 22-8. Then the following year, Steve, the Broncos go back-to-back. I don't think this happened since, has it, Jim, in the NRL? Yeah. So that shows how difficult it is to go back-to-back in NRL premierships. I know it was a star-studded Broncos side, but there must have been a lot of self-belief in that team too, Steve.
Well, there was, and you look at that 93, it was when we won that day in September. It was where 92 was jubilation, and you know, it was unbelievable. 93, because we came from fifth, we actually had to come from fifth, and I had a broken jaw, and I didn't come back till the prelim, and when we won that day, it was just like, you can just see the emotions. It was just relief. Mm. It was like, you know, the boys had just been through this, coming from fifth, you know, played Canberra, they played Manly, and won really well. And then we played Canterbury in the prelim, and it was just relief. It really was. It was something like, you know, apart, you know, you got the jubilation the year before, and then 93 was just like, oh, thank God that's over.
Yeah. What about your origin career, Steve? Mm. And when you think of you as an origin player, you think, oh, we would have played 20, 25 games. Mm. 11 games, interrupted by injury, interrupted by Super League war, and then interrupted by the Super League tri-series that you played in 1997. You think of your time with Queensland. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, it was because of that reason. It was a little bit checking. We New South Wales did dominate, be honest, back then, and they had a really good team, and we tried to build. I think we won in the 91 and 98, we won those series, but and obviously Queensland won in 95 when we had to stand. That was probably the hardest thing, and during that period 95 I turned down an origin jersey and also turned down a test jersey. That was really hard. I think personally I remember the ARL ringing me, and they picked a few of us in the Australian team, and we had to say no. We were told to say no. We didn't want to play for our country and Origin. So it was just a blight on the game at the time, but we were just caught up in it.
It's a difficult period for a lot of players to look back on. But during that Super League period, the Broncos did win the Super League Grand Final, and Stephen Off scores three tries. And then the Broncos go back-to-back again, in a sense, Stephen, 98. So, again, a wonderful era for the club.
It was. We won 97, and no one gave us credit for that. And I don't know if they still do, but we do. We thought, it's still a Grand Final.
Absolutely,
We're playing at the national level, but we justified... And we had that in the back of our mind when we played the inaugural NRL in 98. We were minor premiers and we ended up winning the grand final in 98. For us, that sort of justified where we were at the time. And, you know, a lot of people say that was our best team in 98. But I'll tell you what, it was talk about star-studded team. That was a pretty good team. And, you know, once again, very fortunate to be a part of that and part of a great club.
Mm. Steve, I've always admired you as an athlete, but I think perhaps what you do off the field and your retirement has been just as significant. You were named as centre in the Indigenous Team of the Century, Australian Sports Medal in the year 2000. In your book, The Pearl, the Steve Renoff story, you talked about overcoming prejudices. Is it something that Indigenous athletes still have to worry about, do you think, in 2018 when we have celebrations like Indigenous Round?
You know, it's still there, but, you know, it's so good what the NRL does. And, you know, we didn't have the Indigenous Round when we were playing, but, you know, seeing what's happened this weekend, it just makes you proud when you look at that stuff. And they appreciate, obviously, the Indigenous players that are playing and the past players. And, you know, for us, to sit and watch that, it's one of those things where you just go, well, you know, we all appreciate what the NRL does around, celebrating their Indigenous players.
No, it's a tremendous round to do just that. Steve, a couple of years at the back end of your career at Wigan, why did you go to England at that time? Could you sense you changing as a player, or could you sense that the end was coming?
Look, I knew I had a contract to stay here.
Yep.
What happened, my wife at the time and, with young kids, and I think the club probably were taking a few things for granted, and I just thought, well, I always wanted to play in England. Mm-hmm. And so I got a great offer from Wigan. I think it was like midnight overnight, I signed a contract, and I then had to go and face Wayne and tell him the next day, and that was pretty hard. But, I just need to change. Coming out of that was, end of 99, and I was a little bit over what happened in Super League and a little bit mentally drained, and I just wanted a break. So we went over there and we had the time of our life, we had 2 years over there and thoroughly enjoyed it. Gone from winning 4 grand finals over there that we lost 2.
Yeah.
So I've got to see the other end of the scale. Yeah. But you know, what a great experience, to go over there and live for a couple of years. It was amazing.
I went over there to England in that same year that you were there, in the year 2000, and I lived with a bloke from Mergen as well.
Oh, really?
Jason Webber.
Oh, there you go.
He would have. I think you and he went head-to-head a couple of times.
I haven't seen Webby for a while. He's back home in Mergen, but, you know, they were good players, him and his brother, and I think he played for Balmain.
Yes.
It's a great experience. I enjoyed my 2 years over there, and I went over there with 4 kids, and we found a fifth one over there.
That's right.
And five.
Funny how that happened, Steve. There's a game over there in that 2000. Did you play it? Wigan 32, Salford 0. Were you in that game, James?
No, I missed that one with injury. Steve
went up a couple of tries.
Steve was lucky enough to just score the 2 tries.
Yeah.
If I'd have played, he'd scored 4.
Anyway, hey, Steve, another thing that's probably not as well known about your career is you played a majority of it with diabetes. And you were diagnosed quite young. I think there was a story going around that you were losing a lot of weight and you couldn't work out what it was. Can you tell us about that and how you've lived with diabetes since?
Yeah, mate, it was the end of the big year of 92, and came back from England and you know, we just had the year of my life, obviously, you know, winning those three finals. And then, I thought I was going okay, Jimmy. You know, it's like you just thought, oh, I thought off season, I'm not putting on any weight. How good's this?
Yeah.
You know, wasn't training. But anyway, it was unbeknownst to me, I sort of got back to the gym, and I look back now at the photos, and I was just, the eyes are sunken back in my head, and I thought, oh God, I actually look sick, and I didn't realise it at the time. And the boys sort of give me a ribbon when I walked in the gym, and mate, that's the day I realised I just couldn't lift. I think I got down to a 5 kilo. I wasn't a bigger weight pusher anyway, but I couldn't even do a set of 5 kilo dumbbells. It was ridiculous. And so I ended up going to our club doctor, and I said, I'm not good. And he saw me, and we did the test. And look, that's what I say to a lot of people with type 1. And, you know, going on, my four boys have type 1 as well. And
oh, wow.
So I had to turn around really quick. That was like January 93. So I thought I wouldn't even make the start of the season. But as soon as I started taking care of it, I put my weight back on and got back in the gym and got fit, and I started the season. So it's something, obviously, you can live with if you do the right thing. And I say that to a lot of people. You know, it doesn't matter whether you got type 1 or type 2 either. And I say this to a lot of people I work with here around Queensland, is that there's no difference between the two. You know, if you don't look after it, you'll have the same result. But if you look after it, you will, you know, live a successful life and do what you want to do.
Yeah, good, I think, advice. That's exactly what you did. Incredibly successful life. A great career. Great to see what you're doing post-football as well, Steve. And fantastic to have you as our legend of the game today, mate.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on.